Welcome back to the last portion of Organic Matters for this week here on KVLF. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Remember, we're here every Saturday morning, 9 to 10 o'clock, right in Alpine, Texas. So let's get on with the show. A daily dose of olive oil acts as a natural pain reliever, according to a new study that shows the Mediterranean stable contains anti-inflammatory ingredients. Researchers say they've discovered a previously unknown ingredient in freshly pressed extra virgin olive oil that acts as a natural anti-inflammatory, very, very similar to NSAIDs. NSAIDs are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofens and all those that you take, aspirin. They say the soothing effects of the enzyme, which they've named, oleocanthal, may be responsible for some of the health benefits associated with this Mediterranean diet and the use of so much olive oil. What they get down to without, you know, I won't bore you, I don't try to read to you. At 1.5 ounce daily dose is equal to taking a ibuprofen. Now, a lot of us that is about my only staple on my salads. I use vinegar and olive oil virtually all the time. Then my other great thing in life, and I thank my wife for this, is pestos. We make pestos out of everything. We used to just make parsley pesto like everybody else. Well, I am, and most people won't eat this with me, I am a cilantro nut. So I now, in the extra cilantros, I actually make a cilantro pesto. Then my wife threw one at me the other day. She said, "This is too bitter. I don't like it. Try it." It was all the leaves off of our organic celery. Worked great. I mean, it had an interesting flavor. So in pesto, folks, you just kind of beat up a bunch of vegetables and put some olive oil and some seasoning in it, and then you dip it. It is excellent. Let's say good morning to David.
Yes, Bruce.
How are you today, sir?
And I love your olive oil idea.
Well, thank you very much.
And more people do that. They have less inflammation, less sinuses, less bronchitis.
I know. I just live with it. And now that I've got Sandy as my buddy, I'm always either stealing, begging, borrowing, or buying olive oil. I never run out.
Well, I have three things.
Sure.
You're talking about lawnmowers, and since I do this course on lawnmowers,
yes,
how to clean up the air with your existing lawnmower.
Oh, this would be great to know, David.
You need to do on a regular basis anyway.
Okay.
Number one is clean the air filter.
Perfect, Sandy. You should do that really a couple of times a year, probably, huh?
Oh, a couple of times. You should
More?
Do it every time before you mow.
Now, these are the old ones, like I used to put oil in, clean them up, and then put a little fresh oil in them and put them back in?
It doesn't matter if it's
okay.
An oil one or a paper one.
Okay, got
clean
it.
The air filter every time.
Great idea.
Use synthetic oil.
Now, that I hadn't thought of, David. What a great, that's a
yes,
great, interesting.
Synthetic oils burn cleaner, burn hotter.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, these little engines run at very high temperatures, and most of them are air-cooled, so they need to run as cool as possible, and the synthetic oils do a much better job.
A basic 30-weight synthetic? Is that what
30-weight synthetic,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they do a really super job of reducing emissions when you use them.
Fantastic.
And the third thing, which not too many people are familiar with, there's something called an E3 spark plug, and it has a little split at the end of it.
I've seen the plug. I didn't know what what that did for me other than sell me a fancy plug.
Well, it looks like a fancy plug, but it actually gives you about 15% extended petroleum use.
Oh, yes? So
your gasoline goes 15% further.
So it's a more efficient plug. It's hotter or it burns longer or something.
Very definitely burns better.
Mm-hmm.
Quicker starts, extended engine life, more power, less gas, less air pollution. And I don't give these recommendations out lightly. I've run hundreds of lawnmowers.
Sure,
and,
I know.
And,
I mean, I know who
you
are.
We change them all out to these E3 plugs and automatically start saving fuel.
Cool.
Change them out to the synthetic oils, automatically start saving fuel. Clean the air filters. That's just something that extends the engine life and reduces the emissions so much better than anything else.
Well, and what that, great suggestions. I especially like the synthetic oil idea.
It's amazing. In fact, I've changed almost the entire oil out of all the front end of my truck to the back end. I mean, rear axle, transmission, everything runs on synthetic now.
Now, can you get gear axles? I mean, can you get the right oils to do that, David?
Yes, you can.
You just have to go tell them. I mean, you're not just using Mobil 1 and everything. You have
Mobil
to have different.
Mobil 1 is the oil, and they do have a transmission oil and a rear axle oil that are Mobil 1 great.
Well, I'll do that. I have a brand. You don't know. I had to buy a car last week.
Yeah, you told me that.
Oh, that's right. I did mention it to you. And so I'm going to go after one tank or something. Maybe you're the one that even told me to go one tank and then change it out. Were you the one that mentioned that?
To go
3,000 mile run.
3,000 miles, mm-hmm. and then you change all the oils out. And my 3/4 ton pickup, everybody says, well, you're lucky if you'll get 13 miles.
Yeah.
I'm terribly lead footed if I get less than 17.
Really?
Really. I mean, just changing out these oils, especially the rear axle, because you have, high gear ratios,
mm-hmm.
and low gear ratios, and the lower you get, the more fuel you're using.
Now, do you happen to know if they make an automatic transmission fluid?
I don't know about that.
I'll look into that.
Because I do have a standard shift.
Yeah, yeah. I meant to get one, but it was a hail sale, and I got what I had. What they had is what I bought.
But I did that on everything that I've ever run. And my last truck went 335,000 miles.
Wow.
Without an engine overhaul.
Yeah, that sounds like Bob Webster. Bob's, I think, has got 350 on his right now.
Yeah, I mean, it really extends the life of your...
And I'm pretty sure he also, yeah, he's in the same boat you are, David. He actually really promotes the synthetic oils.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got, Bruce.
Well, David, thanks for taking time to listen and call me, man. You always have great input when you're on.
All right.
Tell your wife hello.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay.
Do it yourself. I always do these. Drain cleaner. Instead of all that nasty stuff, right? I wrote these in so I remember. Half cup of baking soda and then about a cup of white vinegar. And the interaction, just cover the drain and wait a while. If you have to do it a couple times, do it. If it really gets tough, it'll bust the grease loose. Last resort, to get it really washed out if you have to, is pour some boiling water in. But most of the time, the vinegar and baking soda works great. To clean windows, here's all we ever used. We used white vinegar and newspaper. Yeah, newspapers, are, instead of throwing them away, you use the vinegar, you wake it. Then, if you're really efficient, well, or nuts like I am, that all goes into the compost bin. See, now papers are all soy-based inks. Soy. I can't say that word, never could. Soy-based inks. And so they break down perfectly. So you've got it already. See, compost has a tendency to go a little alkali anyway. People think of compost as acid. It's usually got a high pH. So this little acidic add-in of newspaper with vinegar is an asset. And you've got your windows clean. What would you use for silver polish? And this one really works. I stole this idea. You take a sheet of aluminum foil in a glass bowl now, or plastic. Don't do this in a metal bowl. Sprinkle the soil with salt and baking soda. Fill the bowl with warm water. Soak the silver in the bowl. And the silver gets clean and the aluminum turns tarnished. It electrostatically cleans itself. You dry it and buff it. You don't even have to work. Salt, baking soda, and aluminum foil. Now, and I don't do aluminum with much. And I've done this. I guess most of these I've done. Take a lemon, cut it in half, sprinkle it with salt. Okay, and use this mixture to rub brass with, if you have any brass spoons or anything. And it cleans the brass up. It makes it, it doesn't clean it so sterile as like that first time when you get it varnished. It just gives it a nice brass sheen, which you kind of want. I don't like them when they're too clean. I like them to look like they've, what is that word? There's a great name for that. But they get a patine. That's the word. I like words today. Okay. And as a rust remover, vinegar to remove nut rust on nuts and bolts and other mineral deposits, of course, in the shower, in your coffee machine, what do you use? Use vinegar to clean it out because it dissolves the calcium. So anyway, those are little cleaning tips. I hope they'll be helpful to you in and around the house. And I saved the last few minutes of the show for one of my little pet peeves that I hope will help you. I don't usually like to read lists to people or tell you a list, but this is a list I think it's worth knowing. It'll be here on the show, but you can find it if you want it later. All you have to do is go to organicmatters.info, all lowercase, organicmatters.info. And you'll be able to find all this whole show or this portion of the show recorded. And if you can't find it there, it's also on Spotify under Organic Matters. Or you can write me and I'll send it to you. My email is natureapproved@yahoo.com, all lowercase. That's natureapproved@yahoo.com. Humans have been preserving food with snow and ice for over 3,000 years, but the first commercial refrigerators produced around the turn of the 20th century was a game changer. home refrigerating units made it possible for the first time in history to keep perishable foods fresh in quantity. But every advantage comes with a dark side. In the case of refrigerators, one downside is that many people store everything they own in the refrigerator, regardless of whether it needs to be or not. This is a list, a pretty good one, but one that I need to follow because I was raised keeping everything in the refrigerator. This is a fairly complete list of the things that most of us, including me, have been taught that we need to keep in the refrigerator that's just not necessary. Top of the list, and I've done it way too long, is tomatoes. If you take nothing else away from what I'm telling you, please heed this. You don't ever, ever, under any circumstances, store tomatoes in the refrigerator. Tomatoes begin to lose their flavor and texture when put in the fridge, turning mealy, mushy, and flavorless. Leave them out on the counter in a cool place, not in the sun, otherwise they'll do just fine. Potatoes, both sweet and white potatoes. Yes, potatoes are supposed to be kept in a cool, dark place, so the fridge should be ideal, right? No, not really. Wrong. The refrigerator is too cold. Low temperatures wreak havoc on potatoes' natural starches, affecting both their texture and their flavor. Instead, just store them in a paper bag in a cool place. The same holds true for apples and pears. How about peaches and plums? Stone fruits should not be refrigerated if they're unripe, as they will not ripen in the refrigerator. Store them out on the counter and enjoy them as soon as they're ripe. Be sure to follow the wash-as-you-eat rule. As for the rest of the list, oranges, lemons, limes, clementines, berries, melons, bananas, onions and garlic, even honey, jam, maple syrup, avocados, bread, by no means, butter's great out, last a week on any counter, peppers, winter squash, pickles, even coffee, no need. Unfortunately, if you live here in the United States with the rest of us, you will need to refrigerate your eggs. They come with a natural bloom, and if you're buying your eggs from a farmer that doesn't sterilize them, they'll do fine out of the refrigerator for a few weeks or more. But if you're buying commercial eggs from a supermarket, it's probably a good idea, believe it or not, to keep them refrigerated. The only other things I want to say about this subject is, first, all this stuff you can buy is way healthier for you, especially the fruits and vegetables. Go to the Dirty Dozen if you want to look up something on the internet. Eat them organic if you can. Otherwise, that's a list that'll get you going. Clean up your refrigerator, and the food will actually taste better and be just as good, if not better, for you. Thanks for listening to Organic Matters here on KVLF. Back next week. And remember to hug someone. It'll make you feel good.